Today on Real Life Radio.
Verse 11 says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Yeah. My gosh, that is the greatest news in the world. That's the best news ever.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, as Christians, we have this desire to live out our faith, to become more intentional in ministry, so that others we share with can have the life-changing experience of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's exactly why the Real Life Network was created. Real Life Network offers faith-based content that will strengthen us and the beliefs we value. As big tech, big government, and big business have increased their efforts to silence the teachings of Jesus, the Real Life Network is available on your favorite device, anytime, anywhere, and really has something for everyone. The whole family can choose from a wide range of categories like culture, current events, faith and politics, as well as programming for kids. So don't miss out on the relevant, life-changing Christian and conservative programming that will inspire you and strengthen your faith. Find the Real Life Network at reallifenetwork.com and sign up for free. That's reallifenetwork.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues with his series called The Parables of Jesus and a message titled Parable of the Unmerciful Servant, Part 2. Whenever Jesus spoke to the crowds, he often spoke in parables, relatable stories, illustrated in full color and with common themes. You see, in this parable, Jesus is sharing about the power of forgiveness. Now, in Part 1, we were taught to forgive as Jesus forgives. Here in Part 2, we're to be like Jesus and be compassionate as well as being forgiving. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that there is a sobering truth behind this parable. People who profess to be Christian but refuse to obey Christ, including the act of forgiving, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now with his message called Parable of the Unmerciful Servant, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
For us to be like Jesus, we need to be patient. And so, verse 28, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him $5. And he went and laid hands on him and took him by the throat. Wow. And saying to him, you owe me, pay me. And so his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him. And we know that he requests their patience, have patience. What a tragic story. What a tragic situation this is, that this guy would conduct himself this way. Jesus answers that in Matthew 18, 17 to 19. Look there. Matthew 18, 17 to 19. But if he refuses even to hear the church or the leaders of the church. By the way, this is a side note. Isn't it interesting? Jesus honors and believes in the institution of the church. Let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. This is a very misunderstood verse 18. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I have heard this verse abused so badly when people this thing about loosening and binding, and I'm gonna loosen wealth upon you. Have you ever heard that stuff? The context is church discipline. In fact, he goes on, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, you know, we've all used that verse that let's pray. Come on, let's have a prayer meeting. You know, Jesus said, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of you. That's cute, but it's completely theologically inaccurate. Did you know that? I know there's books written on this topic and it's out of context. Jesus said, whenever you come together the way that I've instructed it to happen, and church discipline is to be employed, I'm right there. I will be giving wisdom and judgment to those authorities to maintain the health of the church. I'm there. Remember that. But this loosening and binding, the context again is church discipline. And he's saying, whatever you bind, based upon the word of God, heaven recognizes it. Heaven will honor that if it's biblical, if it's done by the will of God. Heaven will recognize that. Isn't it interesting? The authority of the church is not some document. The authority of the church is the Holy Spirit, who uses the word of God, the Bible. Think about it, with the Bible. I know, it cracks me up. I love it, though. I really love the time and the age in which we live in. The Bible, you can't believe it. You can't trust it. Have you been listening to people? Their mouths are flapping like a sail in the wind. I mean, that's how I see it. It's like, wow. This is amazing. Keep talking, because it's very entertaining. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm enjoying hearing this. Oh, you can't trust the Bible, and that's so ridiculous. What are you talking about? You hear him saying, well, you know, there's so many mistakes in the Bible. Will you find one and write a book and become a billionaire? Well, my grandmother said that there was a couple in there somewhere. You know what I'm saying? It's amazing. Look, the Bible was here before we got here. It's going to be here after we're gone. It's eternal. I'm not talking about the Bible. The paper. You understand this paper? What happens if they burned all the Bibles in the world? God is still God. The word that they burnt is still true. It's still going to happen. Well, I didn't read it. It can't happen because I didn't read it. Oh, you shouldn't have burned it. It's going to happen. It's the Bible. God spoke it. It's what it is. It's amazing. But the Christian church needs to get through this. We need to be patient, and we need to make sure that we're not like this unmerciful servant in holy living. Now listen, we'll see how far we get tonight, but you guys, Acts chapter 5, go turn to Acts 5. This is amazing. Can you imagine this happening in church today? Now, some of you are going to say, well, I want to go to a New Testament, first century church. All right, then. Here we go. Acts 5. Ananias and Sapphira. I want to go to a first century church with the apostles. Okay, here you go. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, a little bit of background. They became Christians. And by the way, God didn't tell them to do this. Somebody had the idea, and so they did it. God didn't tell them to do this. God didn't tell anybody to do this, but they did it. People did it. And that is, they sold all that they had, and they came and brought what they made in profit so that everybody was communal. Sounds cute, but God didn't say to do that. By the way, Karl Marx was a big fan of, I'm not joking, he quotes Acts chapter 5 regarding communism. He said it's biblical. The only problem is God never said to do that. People with good intentions did it, and it backfired on them, and the Jerusalem church wound up starving to death, and Paul had to go all around Europe collecting money to ship it back to the Jerusalem church so they could eat, because they blew it. So Ananias and Sapphira have a property. They have a plot of land, and they sell it. But they say they sold it for a certain price, but they kept back part of the wages for themselves, part of the earnings for themselves, and they inflated. They lied. Are you with me? How much would you like to, let's have a pledge. We have a building fund. And how many of you in our special building fund service tonight would like to donate so much money, blah, 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 to the building fund? Can I see a show of hands? Who's really gonna trust God and give money? And some guy says, I'll give $100,000. And he's got $100,000 to give, and he intends to give $100,000. In fact, he even writes the check. And then somebody's sitting down a few rows over, I don't know. I don't have $100,000. But I'll give $200,000. He doesn't have it. but he says he has it. Oh, look at that guy right there. He's going to give $200,000. Are you following me? Okay. Acts 5:9. Then Peter said to her, Sapphira, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit? Look, the feet of those who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all those who heard these things. I bet. Can you imagine? Her husband was there. She must have been out at Nordstrom's or something. And her husband goes, oh, we'll do 200,000. No one's going to outdo me in this church. I'm going to really look like, you know. And he lied. And Peter says, how is it that you've not conspired to lie to men? You have lied to God. And the guy went, yeah, but dead. Can you imagine? And then the young guys pick the guy up, carry him out. What a service. And then the wife comes in. She's got her new gown on or whatever, man. She's got her robe with the whatever, her Gucci thing going. And she comes in there. She's, all right, that's great. How's it going? And he's, I just want to make sure. Did you guys sell the land for this much? Oh, yeah, that's how much. Yeah. You've lied to God, you and your husband. And the same guys that just buried your husband is going to bury you. Yeah, but dead. Let me tell you, when the scripture says, great fear came upon all the church, upon all who heard these things, can you imagine? Hey, Peter, how big was that fish you caught the other day? It was this big. Right? Think about it. That's awesome. Think of that. That is the righteousness of God, first century New Testament church. But you know what? It was a holy church. People thought about it before they opened their mouth.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Galatians 5:19. Now look, hear me out on this. I'm going to quote these verses. This is the Bible. People always write me about this. When I say these verses, will you let me finish so you can be happy? But what happens, I start going through the verses and somebody runs out of the building with their hair on fire and then writes me a letter and they you didn't even let me finish. So ushers, just, that's right, lock those doors. Galatians 5:19, I'm going to read from Galatians 5:19 and then go into 1 Corinthians 6. Watch how wonderful this is. And I mean, it is wonderful. So take your political correctness and just flush it down the toilet where it belongs and listen to what God wants to say to you and me. And we'll be free. Okay? Galatians 5:19. New Living Translation says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, porneia. We get the word porn from that word, actually. Impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, the worship of things, sorcery, which is interesting because it's pharmakei. You ever heard of that word? Pharmaceutical pharmacy, pharmakei, which, by the way, pharmakei unlocks your soul into the world of sorcery. That's why the word is used here. Isn't that interesting? You want to see demons and freaky things? Go take dope. Drop some acid or whatever. And you say, well, that's just in your mind. Oh, yeah? Pharmakei unlocks you into the spirit realm. Well, I wanted to check that out. Really? You don't want to go there. But I'm still reading this verse. Hostility. Quarreling. jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, unable to get along, division, staying separated, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, that's a nice way of putting it. It's orgies, just the 1960s and 70s, free sex, which is a funny term. They called it free sex, but it almost cost them all their lives. Anyway, and other sins like these, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9 goes on in the New King James Version. It says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators." You know what a fornicator is? Sexually immoral, having sex outside the brackets or the prescription of marriage. You're not married, but you're having sex. God says that's called fornication. Why? Because God made your body. Well, I want to run my own body. Watch where that gets you. God is God. He can't you know what? You're right. Let me just go back into eternity. Let you do your thing. He made your body. God loaned you the body. Someday we have to give it back. And so, just having sex, adulterers, you know what adulterers are? Either both of them are married and having sex with other people, or one is married and one is not. That's adultery. Nor homosexuals, it doesn't work. It scientifically doesn't work, and it spiritually doesn't work. It doesn't work. Nor sodomites, not going to talk about it. Nor thieves, nor covetous. Now look, by now some of us should be saying, that used to be me. That used to be me there, there, and there, there, and there. Are you with me? Nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. If I stopped right there, I mean, there'd be that's it, my life's over. Look at the next verse. Because you know what, before I even read the next verse, hang on a second. I don't know, I think I can find four things in here that I made sure I was doing before I met Jesus. Some of these things I was doing the week. In fact, two of these things I was going to go do and wound up pulling into a church parking lot, and I got saved on the very night I was planning to go do. So don't write me a note and say, "Well, you hurt my feelings." Hey, let me tell you something. This knucklehead right here was wounding the heart of God on the very night I was going to go do more of that. He saved me. He rescued me while I was planning evil. He's amazing. Oh man, when I get there and she's gonna be over there and boy, we're gonna go there and then we're gonna do this and then it's gonna, and then what? Hey, let me pull in here. What is that? What's that place? What is that? I walk in there and Greg Lurie opens the Bible and hits me in the face he didn't really, but the Holy Spirit took the word of God. I'm like, what? And then verse 11, such were some of you. Did you all hear that? Yes. Man, that really hurt my feelings. It's okay. It's okay if your feelings are hurt. Why? Verse 11. Verse 11 says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Oh my gosh, that is the greatest news in the world. That's the best news ever. And the only person that would resist that is the person who's lost. This is so, so necessary because Without Jesus and his forgiveness, we're all guilty. But if he forgives us, if we ask him, he will forgive us. See, that's crazy. No, that's wonderful. Look, don't argue with him. It's his deal. Take him up on the offer and thank him for it. Don't resist him. I'm going to ask you right now, if we would just kind of dim the lights, let's just dim the lights as we end with this, and I want you to just calm your heart before the Lord. Maybe you're right now and you heard this and you're just boiling on the inside. Don't do that to you. Don't do that to you. Agree with God. Father, we come to you tonight, and Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, I am so grateful to go down that list and I can identify things that were like rocket packs, jet packs on my back, lit, thrusting me down a road to destruction. And like Wile E. Coyote, I thought it was going to work out okay. And you interrupted. And tonight I pray, Lord, that you're interrupting the humanistic, hedonistic agenda of self. Tonight, right here. And Father, I pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, the author of our lives, the forgiver of our souls, the sanctifier of sinners, the resurrector of now we who have been declared righteous. Wow. Father, tonight we pray that there would be those here that would agree with you. I'm going to ask you tonight, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to your life and you know that you need the forgiveness of Jesus Christ tonight, that you would come forward right now, that you just come on up and come forward. I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't talk to you publicly. I mean, I'd love to talk to you, but I won't embarrass you. I won't talk to you publicly. But everyone Jesus called, he called publicly. Eventually, even Nicodemus made his presence public. And you getting up tonight and coming forward, you're saying, I'm coming tonight to have my sins forgiven, to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. In doing so, you're saying, I believe he died on the cross and rose again from the grave. Tonight's my night. I'm coming to Jesus. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Parable of the Unmerciful Servant, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. We sure appreciate you. And you know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Parables of Jesus, a series highlighting the teachings of Jesus while he was here on this earth. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
You know, the Apostle Peter, in his letters to the church, urged his fellow Christians to keep on learning and growing in the faith, in spite of their suffering and pain. Unlike today, however, resources were scarce. Still, they persevered, and Christ followers were growing in both strength and numbers. Now, there's no limit of ways to access quality materials on Christian living, including Pastor Jack's website. When you go to jackhibbs.com and click the media icon, you'll find not only Real Life Radio episodes, but Real Life podcasts, Real Life TV, Real Life basics for Christian growth, and even news updates. There's also specific verse-by-verse studies from books of the Bible, and so much more. So head on over to our website at jackhibbs.com and click on the media tab. That's jackhibbs.com.
You ever find yourself longing for a deeper spiritual walk? Well, for many believers, the Holy Spirit's just a mysterious idea we hear about on Sundays but rarely live out on Mondays. What if His presence could transform your daily life, fueling you with hope and power and unstoppable joy? What if His guidance could help you navigate through decisions, strengthen relationships, and bring genuine peace to your soul? Well, this month, Pastor Jack Hibbs is featuring Living Water by Chuck Smith. It's a down-to-earth look at the Holy Spirit who can revolutionize the way you connect with God. Inside, you'll uncover practical biblical insights to help you walk in step with the Spirit right where you are. No hype, no cliches, just real answers for everyday challenges.
This book changed my life. Authored by my pastor, Chuck Smith, the book Living Water, incredible.
Living Water is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.